Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Are we in a Christmas mood?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel very festive. The energy doesn't feel very upbeat.
I just finished playing you Jingle Bells on the Glockenspiel. How much more Christmassy could it be?
I didn't recognize the song.
Fuck you.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, it's our Christmas show and time for a holiday tradition. Paula and I have picked out a movie to review. Tonight, we examine Gremlins to let you know if you should see the new film, Wonder Woman 1984. Plus, Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hall team up for another group report. This time, for Christmas, they'll dig into the North Pole. It's the Burns-Hull Report, your definitive guide to information that is not definitive. I'm Adam Felber, the man who every week tries to keep conversational gremlins from infecting this show by keeping a tight lid on our topical mogwais. And now, please welcome the Wonder Woman of our podcast, who throws every topical gremlin into the deep end of the pool where they reproduce at will, Paula Poundstone.
Welcome, Paula.
Thank you so much. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
That is so festive.
Santa? Santa, is that you?
Have you been a good girl, Paula Poundstone?
I've been fantastic. So the last Christmas dinner that I had with my parents.
Before I let you do that, Paula.
Oh.
Don't you want to welcome a band? Somebody's going to be on the naughty list.
I do, Santa. Thank you.
Santa heard a major fuck up there.
Thank you, Santa. And pardon me. Hey, it's me, Paul Poundstone. Hi, Adam. And thanks to tonight's house band. Returning champion on viola, Kristen Lejeune of the Lejeunes. She's from Lejeune. It's Mrs. Lejeune's youngest.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay. I'm sorry. You were saying, Paula, something about gifts.
No, because, all right. So the last time that I had dinner with, my parents and their offspring, it was with our old neighbors, the Rosses. I was a young adult. I mean, I might have been maybe 18, something like that.
Okay.
And the Rosses were very religious. And so we said grace at the beginning of the meal. And everyone had, bowed their head to say the grace. And in that moment of silence, just before Mr. Ross began the prayer, my mother went, Paula, be quiet. And I wasn't saying anything. It was just such a sort of knee-jerk response. That's just how she addressed everything with, Paula, be quiet. Just everything, she said that. And so there was this moment of silence, and she felt, I think she felt like I was somehow going to fuck it up or something. Like I was going to, like just before Mr. Ross could begin the prayer, I was going to leap in with like a knock knock joke or something. Something like that. Bonnie, didn't someone say on Facebook that they were just sick of the knock knock jokes?
Well, most people said they loved the knock knock jokes. But
that's not what I asked you.
No, I needed to preface it because most people said they really loved the knock knock jokes. But one guy said that he loved listening to our show while he was working out. And will we please stop telling the knock knock jokes, because that was one part that he wasn't enjoying while he was working out. And he would think to himself, could they just get through the knock knock jokes? And then he said, even though I love you, Bonnie.
You know what? I just want to say to that guy, you know, your workout is not our responsibility. But what I said to you, wasn't there someone on Facebook who said, could you guys stop with the knock-knock jokes? And you said, well, most people said blah, 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 which made me really think, have you ever taken the written DMV test?
Well, why would you ask that? I don't get the connection. Why would you ask that?
I just don't see how you could get through it. You know, it would say like, you know, do you stop at the red light? You know, do you drive through the red light? Do you increase your speed at the red light? And you would say, well, most people, do you see what I'm saying? Like, you didn't, it was such a simple and direct question. Wasn't there a guy who said that?
No. I wanted to make myself look good.
Oh, good thinking.
Because I was the one telling the knock-knock jokes.
True enough.
And people liked them. So I wanted to put in, then he said he liked me. So
I
wanted to come off well in the story.
No, that's good. You really have come off well.
All right. You know, Paula, we're starting a new tradition this year. I'm pretty excited about it.
What is it?
Well, we're going to do our first ever Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone Secret Santa Gift Exchange.
Oh, right. I almost forgot.
Yeah,
oh,
it's going to be really fun. Here's what we decided to do. We've all secretly gone out and bought someone else a gift, and now we're just going to take turns and present that person with the gift that we bought them.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Paula?
Yeah, I am.
It sounds like you might have completely forgotten this. Do you need a minute to run outside for a second?
I'm just looking around the room to see what I can wrap. Okay.
All right, we won't start with you, Paula.
Oh,
we won't
that's
start
good.
With you.
We'll get... That's good. How could I have forgotten? I'm so sorry.
This is the weirdest thing. Okay, so in that case, let's go to Sherman Oaks, California.
No,
we'll go to Tony and Anita Hall.
You start.
You have
oh
to
my
start.
God.
Okay, I'll start. This is nobody thought of anything, did they?
No, I have
all
something.
All right, here's my.
I just don't want to start.
Here's my gift. All right,
yeah.
I'll start. Bonnie Burns, I chose you as my Secret Santa recipient, and if you open the package in front of you, you'll see. The first issue, I bought you 3 magazine subscriptions. If you open that package, you'll see.
Let me
you
see.
You now are a subscriber to Popular Crinkles, Sonic Annoyance Quarterly, and Extraneous Noise Aficionado.
Which
is a great one. You might see the cover story there is 7 food and mouth sounds guaranteed to drive him mad. So you'll be receiving those every month this year, except for Sonic and Orange Quarterly, which obviously comes out 4 times a year.
That is so nice of you.
That's a beautiful gift.
Wow. You're welcome, Bonnie.
That was
Merry
really
Christmas.
Nice of you to think of me. Thank you.
You're welcome, Crinkle. We love you. All right.
Thanks so much.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Tony's
Tony Hall in Sherman Oaks, California. Who is your Secret Santa recipient, and what did you get them?
Well, it's awkward because I also chose Bonnie. Oh. But
what?
Well, yeah.
Oh my gosh, really?
So mine's okay. I don't know if it's been delivered. It's rather large, so I hope you have a place for it. I know you love the Seahawks. So I got you life-size cutouts of all the Seahawks shirtless because I also know you like their bodies. So I thought it's something to go with the lubricant and nipplegasms. Merry Christmas.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is so cool.
Wow.
And I'm putting it in my living room where you guys know that I still sleep on the couch and don't go up to the bedroom. That is the coolest. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's a really nice gift, Tony. It's a very nice gift that I never want to see in person.
I'll post photographs.
You know, I forgot that I mailed it already, and I don't. It says right on it, don't open till Christmas. So you probably haven't opened it yet, Bonnie. But
who?
I got you.
Bonnie.
I got Bonnie. Oh my gosh! Did we all do Bonnie?
I think we all did Bonnie.
Oh,
we could have planned this better.
Sakes.
I'm all so this embarrassed, you guys.
I got you. Well, it's a gift. It's a gift basket. I got you a bag of rice because, tough times. But the amazing thing about the rice is that on each grain of rice, I've written with a teeny pen, do not put in your ear.
That's really nice.
Yeah. And on the off chance that you don't read it, I also got you an ear, Frida.
Oh, an ear, Frida. Not as popular an item as the nose Frida or the butt Frida, but in Bonnie's case, it could be coming very handy.
Yeah. You want to be careful with it, of course. But yeah, and I also got you a copy of that new book. Say what?
Well, I think we've all learned a valuable lesson about why they actually draw names out of a hat for Secret Santa usually, because...
I thought it was... Oh, my God. We are not good at, like, office celebrations, especially since the pandemic. You know, I want the listeners to know that, a lot of podcasts, they take Christmas off, but not us. We wanted you guys to have, it's so depressing over the holidays when the mail doesn't come on some days. And we wanted to be there for you as much as we could. But this holiday stuff, we're not good at it as a company, I think.
No, we blew the Thanksgiving potluck, and now we've blown Secret Santa because the only person to get a present was Bonnie. However, I do want to point out that we still haven't gone around the horn to Bonnie Burns. So unless she went ahead and bought herself a present, somebody else is getting the Christmas present. So at least we have that going for us. Bonnie, what did you get, and for whom?
Okay, I thought you guys said I was supposed to get one for somebody named Cynthia.
Yes. What?
So no. When I was on Chewy, Bonnie,
we don't work with anyone named Cynthia.
No, I thought you said something about get a gift for, there was somebody named Cynthia.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, what's in your ear?
So I was on Chewy and I ordered like a dog toy.
So you ordered a dog toy for some random person named Cynthia?
It's this thing, Jolly Ball, and it's indestructible.
But Bonnie, we're a small enough organization that we don't have. There's like nobody on the third floor that we haven't met yet. It's just us.
Wait a second. Didn't you guys say get a gift for Cynthia?
I didn't say
it. And Bonnie will get a gift for Cynthia?
Paula might have said that a gift idea might be a for Cynthia.
No.
I could have sworn that's what you said.
And you got her a dog toy?
No, because...
All right. Well, Cynthia, if you're out there, enjoy your dog toy.
It's It's indestructible. It's indestructible.
Well, you know what?
Tell
like
you
the
what.
Who's in Whoville, we don't need gifts to welcome Christmas to our place. So, you know, congratulations,
wahoo, wahoo,
Cynthia.
Wahoo, wahoo.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes
no,
Santa Claus.
Here's something I know about myself after years of watching and of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas and also reading it to my children. I am really fucking disappointed when they wake up in the morning and there are no presents. And I don't think going outside and holding hands and singing in a circle is in any way the same thing. I
agree with you. I just watched it with my daughter and she gave me this look when they woke up like, what's the matter with these people?
Yeah.
I think Vivi was hoping for that it would right after that become like a, you know, a Rambo style revenge flick.
Yeah, no, you know what?
Like one of the Who's just straps on a lot of ammunition and heads up the mountain.
Yeah, they all get torches. Come on, let's get that prick bastard. Yeah. Let's get our
Merry Christmas to you, Grinch. Blam 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 blam.
Let's get our Wahoo Winklers back. Come on.
You know, I was just kidding. I got you guys all a $5,000 bonus check.
Wow.
Out of Paula's. Out of Paula's account.
No, that's fantastic. And it really
right,
explains.
Right, and I got you a pony.
Yeah. And it you know what? I heard some hoof steps outside earlier. No, that's great that you got us all bonus checks from my account. That's fantastic. And that certainly explains why my card was rejected earlier today.
I always use that we when I'm talking to people. I go, we'd really like to comp you two tickets. We really wish that you would blah, blah, blah.
Well, in lieu of this withdrawal from my account, I feel like an asshole, but can I have some of that rice back?
Wait, I have to go read something on the green.
It's got ink on it.
It doesn't matter. You boil it. It comes off. It's all right.
Oh, my
you
God.
The ink is good for you. It's edible ink.
I promise everybody we'll have this whole thing fixed by next Christmas. All right, G.K. Chesterton wrote, Christmas is built upon a beautiful and intentional paradox that the birth of the homeless should be celebrated in every home. We'll celebrate Christmas by talking about Gremlins next on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Adam, you know, I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it. But his name is Theo, and he has a really gravelly voice. So he'll, it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression. But it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's A-S-P-C-A. We spell that A-S-P-C-A. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds, yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. On this day in unremarkable history, Jesus' neighbors said, "Jesus, Mary and Joseph." No, not you. It's an expression.
Thank you, house band Kristen Lejeune. Paula, we have a tradition here. Around the holiday times is when we really like to review movies to let you know whether you should see a movie that's about to come out in the theaters or for home video. And this year, we have decided to review Gremlins.
That's right. Because
can you explain that to our listeners, please?
Because there's a release of the movie Wonder Woman, the new movie Wonder Woman 1984, and Gremlins was made in 1984. So we watched Gremlins. I watched it just last night, just to refresh my memory, so that we can tell you whether you should watch Wonder Woman 1984.
So here's a capsule recap of Gremlins for those of you who haven't seen it. Billy Peltzer is a sweet young man in an idyllic American town filled with Christmas cheer and bumbling idiots. Billy receives an adorable, magical creature for Christmas, along with two simple rules to follow for safety. Wear a mask and practice social distancing.
That wasn't it.
The rules are don't get the creature wet, which he promptly does, and don't feed it after midnight, which he also does. In no time, Billy's idyllic town is overrun with malevolent little reptilian monsters who immediately indulge in some of humanity's favorite behaviors. Murder, binge drinking, and hilarious racial stereotyping. Together with his new girlfriend, Billy must figure out a way to rescue his town from the gremlin pandemic, which, by the way, originated in China, but thanks to civic irresponsibility, got much, much worse in the United States. Ta-da!
That sums it up. That's good. You know what? Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. Gremlins is an hour, how long was it? Hour 40? Hour and 40 minute marketing ploy. Heidi is going to hate it.
yeah. Heidi, of course, our listener who feels like we do too much promotion. And you're right. Gremlins was a promotion not just for Gremlins toys, but for everything to do with Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, it was also a product placement palooza. Now, Christopher Columbus, I guess, wrote the screenplay, and the story goes that Steven Spielberg thought it was one of the most creative things he had ever read. That's how the story goes, anyways. I think Spielberg liked the screenplay because there is homage after homage after homage to Spielberg. There's a billboard for a radio disc jockey using an Indiana Jones motif. The gremlins hide among some plush toys in the department store. And one of the plush toys is E.T. Christopher Columbus's Gremlins screenplay was to Steven Spielberg what Bill Barr's unsolicited memo on the authority of the presidency was to Trump.
Yeah. It was. What's the delicate term I'm looking for here? Is it blowjob?
Yeah, I think that is the delicate. I don't know how Spielberg could have thought it was so original. The whole time I was watching, I kept thinking it's the tropiest time of the year. It just had thing after thing that we've seen before. But I'll tell you what we haven't seen before, even in older movies, is snow that doesn't move. There's a scene where he's getting out of a Volkswagen Bug, the hero is, his car, and he slams the door, and no snow falls off. It literally
it was like a permasnow.
It was like a Houston woman's hair in the 70s. It just didn't move at all. I think that the part that I hated most, and there's a lot to hate here.
I actually liked the movie. I mean, there's a lot to hate, but I liked the movie in general.
No, I will never forgive.
Just know, huh?
I will never forgive the needless romance story woven loosely into the script. It's just the girlfriend has no...
Phoebe Cates, played by Phoebe Cates.
I don't know who that is. I think her name in the movie, he called her Milk Toast, I believe. There was no discernible charm to her and no chemistry. Although, come to think of it, there was none for Billy either. They're perfect for each other. The dialogue between the two of them was absolutely painful. So remember the part, Adam, when they're walking home in the fake snow among Christmas lights.
Right, that's when he asks her out on a date. He walks her home from school or something, and he asks her out on a date at the end. Yes.
No, it was dark. It wasn't school unless it was adult Ed. That's the other thing. You couldn't really figure out.
It might have been. They're not actually school kids. You're right.
Yeah.
They're young adults working.
They're young adults working, but not working very well. He works at the bank and he brings his fucking dog. You don't bring your dog to the bank. And then we're supposed to feel...
And she's a bartender.
Yeah, she's a bartender and she brings her lice. You don't bring your lice to the bar. I don't know. There was something about her that I just really didn't like. But for one thing, there was a genre of female lead there for a while that always had some kind of deep, dark secret and angst. And to me, they were just sort of miserable and not fun to watch. So they're walking home. There's Christmas lights and fake snow. And Billy, who is supposedly a young adult, appears to be unfamiliar with the idea of holiday depression.
It's a very happy town.
Whereas Milk Toast is the poster child for holiday depression, she actually says of people who get depressed at the holidays during their conversation, she says, while everyone else is opening up their presents, they're opening up their wrists.
That was dark. I'll give you that.
What holiday song is that from? Is that a Burl Ives hit? I don't know that one. Or Holly Dolly Jolly, holiday favorite? Opening up their wrists. Yeah. Who talks like
Have
that?
Have a holly killy Christmas. Yeah. Well, you know, she's depressed with the holidays. You know, there was around this love story some sort of plot involving monsters. We can talk about that or not.
What do you mean a plot? There was a plot involving monsters. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, Here's another thing. There's that
lovable Mogwai Gizmo, and he gets wet and he multiplies, and then you've got meaner gizmos, basically, and then they eat chicken after midnight, and they turn into these pod people. These reptiles.
Here's the thing. You can, and I remember when I first saw the film years ago, I did think the Mogwai thing was kind of cute. But I watch it now, and all I can see is the doll that they're going to sell. And I know that Heidi is with me right now. But the other thing is, they keep making it, throughout the film, they keep making it have a runny nose. And, you know, as a parent, I got to say, the one thing that's not cute about your kid is their runny nose. It's, you know, that sort of glazed donut look is not cute. But apparently, whoever did the puppets had really bad allergies. And so they would just sort of drip onto the puppets. And you would think that little Mogwai Gizmo had so much, well, shall we say, drainage that if he gets wet, he reproduces. That's why you find out they weren't supposed to get him wet, as if he gets wet, he reproduces. So why didn't his runny nose cause other Mogwai to pop up his upper lip?
You know what? That's a reasonably good question.
Yeah.
Here's something that you might not have known. Gizmo's voice, Howie Mandel.
Yeah. Yeah, he was born to play him.
Got to say bright light and things.
Yeah, when you say Gizmo's voice, that was the other weird thing, is they spoke English.
Yeah.
The Mogwai, which came from China, the father who presents this pet to his young adult son, got it from Chinatown. And, from a place of very authentic Chinese things and an authentic...
Yeah.
Chinese man, really, he stole it from him.
He stole it from a very kind of suspiciously authentic, and I'm putting authentic in quotes, Chinese man, to the point where he's literally like a Mandarin with a big beard and robes and speaks in a halting Chinese accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just say, he did one, he did more than a, he's been on Kung Fu before, that actor.
I don't think you're wrong about that.
Oh, I know I'm
so,
right.
So
about
in
that.
Any,
yeah, and so, I believe he may have been in MASH as well, because I'll speak for myself. I cannot tell different Asian backgrounds apart, and apparently there's enough of us that fall into that category that they've been able to get away with this for years. Lord knows what the man's actual heritage is, but. He's played both North Korean, South Korean, and Chinese, so I don't know.
It's a varied career, but, you know, at least he's genuinely Asian as opposed to John Wayne as Genghis Khan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. who went on eventually to be Genghis Okan in the movie where he played the Irish guy.
Right. Oh, the quiet one, yes.
Yeah,
the Genghis quiet guy, Okan. The
very
quiet
popular.
Man.
All right. Okay. So the girl, Milk Toast, with the dark story.
Phoebe Cates.
So at one point, the town has been ravaged by these reptilian creatures
gremlins.
That Adam described. These gremlins. People have been killed. The Billy's mother has been attacked. The science teacher. This was one of my favorite parts. Billy takes one of the replicated. Mogwai to his science teacher in his former high school.
That's right.
Like, that guy is going to be able to determine the origins and behaviors of this creature. He's a high school science teacher. You know, the truth is, Adam, you said it was a happy little town. I thought there were all sorts of signs of depression in the town. Financial depression. I think there was a through line there of people, like there was a lot of drinking in that bar and people had proposed to their mates in that bar. There was a sense of, you know, sort of a Pittsburghian, maybe a town that had an industry that had moved away or something. There was a feeling about that.
I guess there's some of that. I mean, obviously housing prices aren't exactly through the roof in that town because Billy's dad is an incredibly unsuccessful inventor, and yet they've got a really nice house.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think there's a backstory that they didn't talk, because they kept showing like the dad had invented all these things that were not good, and so they were failed, all these appliances that they had in their house that didn't work right. But the dad must have gotten something right like years before, you know what I mean? Like fake vomit, something. He must have done something
Post-it
that
notes.
Really took off. And then just could never get it back again, just kept near missing.
He was coasting on that. But you're right, the town was kind of depressive. There was the town drunk was also the town racist. You had some World War II vet who...
well, that was the one they focused on. There may have been more there. He was the one that the story that got told. But here's what I think. I think all the town's money went into the high school science department because they must have had a goddamn UC Davis over there. The idea that he would bring this creature to the science teacher, who, by the way, in like the next scene, takes out a syringe to draw blood from the mugwai. Well, where does he have a blood testing lab in a high school? And where does he get a syringe with a needle in it in a high school? I think he probably got it from some of the students. But he
quite
had,
possible, yep.
He had no business having it, I'll tell you that.
He eventually got it in the end, as it were. He was one of the first victims of once those mogwais mutate into gremlins. And, you know, by the way, after they mutate are two of my favorite scenes in the movie. There's the mom defending her kitchen, which is genuinely funny. She puts one in a blender. She puts one in the microwave, like that urban legend about the dog in the microwave, and it explodes.
She puts one, Adam, in the way back of the refrigerator, and she finds it months later. But it's kind of limp and it smells bad. Yeah, it's not entirely dead.
And then there's that scene in the bar where Phoebe Cates, who you refer to as Milk Toast, the gremlins are now killing everybody in town that they can. But for some reason, not only are they inhabiting this bar, but she's serving them as though they're regular customers. I love that. She's
Milk
like
Toast
pouring them
that.
Beer and stuff.
Yeah. She's trying to keep them happy. You know, she'll do anything for a tip. There was that. All right. So after there's been all sorts of, you know, killing and destructive mayhem, and now for some reason they go to the bank. I have no idea why they go to the bank. And again, there's, you know, things are thrown everywhere. Glass is broken. These scary, scary gremlins have been there. And Billy's like looking around for, I don't know what, some sort of, you know, clues to the mystery. And now is the worst part of the movie when Milk Toast, the girlfriend.
I know where you're going here.
Milk Toast explains that the reason she hates Christmas and she's very bitter. She feels that people who hate Christmas should have equal rights to people who don't. She tells the story of how her father went missing when she was younger, and the cops couldn't find him. And then one night she went to make a fire in the fireplace and noticed a bad smell, and they found her father stuck in the chimney in a Santa suit with a sack full of toys. And that his body was decaying.
Yeah.
Exactly. exactly how.
And then she says something about like now I have another reason to hate Christmas.
Oh yeah, right. And now she piles this gremlin experience onto her dad being stupid enough to actually get inside the chimney. He couldn't look down there and see it wasn't going to fit him, let alone a sack of toys. How delusional was he?
Yeah.
It's just not, you know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe around Easter we should do Gremlins 2, because that takes place with an Easter theme, and the girlfriend in that hated Easter because her father had dressed up in a bunny suit and gotten fucked to death by real bunnies. You know how they fuck.
No, like bunnies.
Exactly.
Basically.
Very dangerous in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
What is it you like about the movie again? You tell me.
I just think it's a kind of a fun 80s mix of, you know, grisly humor and kind of Spielberg small town, you know, magical bullshit. I am entertained by a lot of those scenes that you think are stupid. I think they're kind of funny. Like all the gremlins getting blown up in that movie theater, I thought was great. Them and the kind of horrifying thing of that guy, that stripy gremlin, you think you've almost eliminated all the reptilian ones, and that guy and the stripy one runs to the high school and jumps in the swimming pool. I mean, that's great monster movie stuff.
Yeah. It's still, the whole thing was just a tribute to, just before the last, they kill all the gremlins, and the last gremlin to die is this evil leader gremlin that they call Stripe. And
because he's a mohawk.
Yeah. And the last thing he says before he dies is, "You sure can make a great film, Mr. Spielberg."
So, Paula, based on your recent viewing of Gremlins, should our listeners go see or stay home and see Wonder Woman 1984?
No, absolutely not. It's a bad omen. The 1984 thing, very bad omen. Yeah. What do you think?
I would say you should stay home, drop down your own chimney, and watch Wonder Woman 1984 when it comes out.
Yeah. Think about how many people
what
you just
killed. What could
possibly
go wrong?
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say stay away from Wonder Woman 1984, and whatever you do, don't watch Gremlins again.
All right. Coming up next, the Burns Hull Report. This week, they cover the North Pole. Their report on Santa's whimsical family home with a backyard full of wonders, including a spacious reindeer barn, a wine collector's paradise, and featuring a live-in staff of merry little creatures who are not gremlins. That's coming up right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Cat of the Week is Fred Astaire from Davis, California. Phyllis Diller sent out Christmas cards that read, "Money's scarce, times are hard, here's your fucking Christmas card." Stay tuned for more Christmas cheer on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Fun fact, no number before 1,000 contains the letter A. But if you say them with an absurd Italian accent, they all do. And we're... Now you get it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay. And we're back. Now, Paula, I'm very excited tonight, and I know you are too, and it's not just because of the pitter-patter of reindeer hooves we're about to hear.
No, I'm very excited. It's it's the Hull, the Burns Hull, the Hull Burns report.
The Hull Burns report. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hull did a group report on Iceland to let us know what goes on in Iceland, so we can attract some listeners there. And that report was a runaway success. Listeners keep writing in about it. They never stop. I mean, it's sweeping the nation. So we've decided. We've decided to create the Burns Hull Report, God help you, Tony, as a continuing feature. And this week they're doing a report on the North Pole.
You know, we've gotten a lot of handwritten letters about the Burns Hull Report as well, I think. But because President Trump put DeJoy in there and he fucked up the mail, they just haven't arrived yet. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of handwritten posted letters about
it. Was a runaway sensation, absolutely, and it brings back the group reports from school from years gone by, doesn't it, Tony? Bonnie, does it feel like it used to in school when you did group reports?
Well, you know, the whole idea of this group report was me complaining about how stupid it was in high school when you had to do a group report and then one person never carried the weight and another person had to do the whole thing. And then, you know, your grade was determined by the whole group and how frustrating it was. And I just found out my daughter's in college now and they have to do a group report in college. And I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Because first of all, you're in college. How does anybody get together in college when they're all doing different things? But the other thing is, I thought the whole point of a group report, like in high school, was so they got to know each other.
Who I don't think that's college? What it's for.
No.
In fact, when my son was in maybe middle school, or maybe it was elementary school, I can't remember anymore, he had to do a group report, and he was not a great student. But I got to say, one day, you know, he gets on the phone and he calls the other girls in his group, because I think it was all girls. He calls the other girls in his group and he schedules for them to get together at our house and work on their project. And I was so impressed. I said to him, I go, you know, of everything that you've learned in school, that what you just did there is probably the thing that you will use the most. Scheduling. Coordinating other people's schedules, getting the phone number, right? Being the person sort of pushing the agenda a little bit. These are adult skills that you use in a group report. Whereas I think so much that I don't think it was so that you could get to know each other when you were in high school. I mean, unless they gave it to you on the first day, Bonnie, when did you do your group report in high school?
You know what? I mean, I don't remember doing a group report in high school because we would have thought that was below us. Like, get together in a group and do a report. Like, we would have been like, that would have been like so stupid.
Did, like, wait a minute. Wait, Bonnie, did you go to that school, Uppity High?
You know, like, honestly, in Seattle, like, why would we do what they tell, like, no, we wouldn't do that. We didn't carry umbrellas in Seattle. We thought that was below us.
Well, I think that's below anybody.
But I do want to point out, the lion's share of stuff that you do in your professional life later in life is in groups, including almost all science.
Like, it's like so, not wearing a name tag at a, like, group thing. Like, I'm above a group report. I'm not doing a group report. I'm not wearing the name tag, so you can see my name.
Well, I used to not like name tags, but I really do now. I used to never want to wear a name tag when I went to something. And now I'm like, you know what? Let me get those name tags. Because I can't remember people. I make my kids wear name tags. I can't remember people's names. Everybody, if we were recording back in the studio together, all of us together, I would insist that you guys all wear name tags. Absolutely.
That's a reasonable request.
You don't think the group report was a dumb, stupid way that the teachers had of trying to get the kids to meet one another?
No.
No.
Not no. Most of them. It was, and you know, Bonnie, I think it's worth pointing out that you're talking about how one kid always ends up doing all the work. On that Iceland report, I mean, Tony Anita Hull did almost all the work.
No, she didn't. Tony.
Bonnie brought her jokes.
See, that's Bonnie why you what? Need name tags. It's Bonnie.
Bonnie brought jokes, the Icelandic jokes.
No, did we not? Yes. Take a bunch of facts and then go over them and go, okay, you do this, I'll do that. Like, I had things.
Yeah, here's my point, Bonnie. Here's my point. Where did that bunch of facts come from? Did the fact fairy drop them off in your house?
No, I had some, but we already know each other. I didn't have to deal with Peggy Glutz out of the blue, who maybe didn't even speak.
Who?
Like, didn't even lift a book. Was just there going, uh-huh. Okay, I'll meet you at 7, but I'm not going to show up.
Peggy Glutz? Wow.
Peggy Glutz just... was a dick.
Yeah, Peggy Glutz, by the way, I was, you know, I watch the credits to Breaking Bad every night, and Peggy Glutz is an executive producer on Breaking Bad.
That's what I always say. A team player is Peggy Glutz.
Yeah. She worked her way up because she was a line producer on Orange is the New Black. So, oh my God. Look her up. Tony, have you Googled Peggy Glutz yet?
She's right now.
Of course
she's
you are.
All over show business. She's
okay,
amazing.
Wait, let me just ask all of you guys something. Did you ever have a good group report experience? Like you look back and you go, oh yeah, that was, that was really good. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Tony?
No, I hate group projects. I hate group projects. I agree with the captain on this.
Well, then let's take the two people who hate group projects and have them present their group project to us.
Well, you know, Adam, I think you mischaracterized. I just want to come to Bonnie's defense here. I think you mischaracterized her participation in the Iceland project.
Okay.
Because Tony volunteered this in a private conversation with me that although Bonnie didn't bring a lot of facts or research, she provided the umbrella during the whole Iceland project.
Well, I mean, I guess everybody did their part. I withdraw that. All right, so you ladies who hate your group reports, come give us your report about the North Pole.
Okay, great. Are you ready,
So without Bonnie? Further ado, here's Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hull with the Hull Burns report.
I just want to make sure you're ready.
Here. Welcome to our report on the North Pole.
I hate this.
Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hull. And I would now like to turn things over to my partner, Tony Anita Hull.
Oh, that was well done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bonnie. So there are a lot of different North Poles. This is what I feel like we discovered together. So, first of all, I'm going to talk about the geographic North Pole, which is the northernmost point on the planet, and it's where the Earth's axis intersects with its surface. And so its latitude is 90 degrees north, and all lines of longitude meet at the geographic North Pole. And from there, every direction turn, like any direction you turn, you're always going south, which is kind of wild, which makes sense.
So if you're standing at the North Pole and you ask somebody how to get somewhere, they can only tell you to head south.
South, yes, which I never thought about.
That would be good for me because I couldn't fuck it up. So all these lines of latitude, is that what you said, the lines of latitude?
All the lines of longitude meet.
My mistake. All the lines of longitude meet at the North Pole. And I assume they laugh at Trump behind his back.
Sure they do.
That's what happens at most global meetings now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Tony, we've got that one. If you put a stick through the planet, the North Pole is the stick through which it rotates. Around which it rotates.
Yes, exactly. And because all lines of longitude begin from it, the North Pole has no time zone. Think about that. That's crazy. Yeah.
What do you mean no time zone?
Oh, wow.
So what time is it? I don't see what it means.
So what time is it at the North Pole? And the answer is yes.
Exactly.
Is it yes o'clock?
Correct.
It's yes o'clock at all times.
So, meaning there's no time there?
There's no time zone because it's at the that's the top. So, like, where time is it there?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
I would guess, and this is just a guess, that if you're at the North Pole and you want to know what time it is, I would guess everybody there uses something like Greenwich Mean Time or Eastern Standard Time.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay, all right, fine. All right, tell us about the other. Tell us about the other North Pole.
There's also the magnetic North Pole, which this I find confusing. And Adam, you might be able. This sounds like something you could explain better than I can. So the magnetic North Pole is not the same as the true North. It's several hundreds of miles south of the geographic North Pole. Earth's iron core movement within its outer part generates a magnetic field, and the magnetic north and south poles are where the field is vertical. So compasses actually point to the magnetic North Pole, not the geographic North Pole.
I think you explained it perfectly. I mean, it's absolutely true. I think it's somewhere in Canadian territory or something. And
yeah.
If you are standing anywhere north of there, your compass is going to point south.
Yes, that is correct.
I think my compass is going to point anywhere I hold it.
Right, because you're talking about the compass that we use in high school geometry, right?
I don't know about you, but I'm in charge of my compass. You got to take charge of your compass. Compass head. Remember when Bernie Sanders... Compass head. When Bernie Sanders used to call you compass head. Oh my God, I loved that.
So that was my favorite thing about the Bernie Sanders visits to our show. I miss him. I miss being called compass head.
I wish he would come back. I agree. Bernie, do you want to come pay a little visit while we're doing our report?
We'll have to. He's busy now. He's got a lot of.
All right, so Tony, there's more North Poles.
Yeah, but I'm going to put a pin in the other North Pole for now, and I'm going to pass it to Bonnie to talk about the weather in the North Pole.
Well, can I just say I really got excited about the North Pole. It was actually my idea to do the North Pole because...
It was.
Did you do this a lot on your group projects in school? Did you go, it was my idea to do this? Because that's not really germane. And then after that, probably a lot of the others didn't want to work with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, it's not supposed to be a
particularly...
Yeah,
this was my idea, Peggy Fault, you bitch.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be a particularly good quality in a person to take credit for things. So
no, that's, I'm sure, what your group told you.
Yeah, exactly. Let me push them to the back. I'll push Tony to the back. Okay, because I had read somewhere that actually people lived in the North, on the North Pole, but as it turns out, no one lives there. And the reason is that the ice is constantly moving, so it makes it impossible to establish a permanent community. And the people who live the closest by, nearby, are the Inuit, Inuit people?
Yep, Inuit.
Inuit.
Yeah, who live in the Arctic regions of Canada, Greenland, and Russia. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the weather at the North Pole.
Good.
Okay, well, here you go. So they only have one sunrise and one sunset every year. The sunrise is in March, and the sunset is in September. And there's sunlight all day in the summer, and it's always dark in the winter. The average temperature in the summer is 32, and in the winter, the average temperature is 40 below zero.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's cold.
And even with that, the North Pole is warmer than the South Pole. Do you want to take a guess why?
Oh. The North Pole is warmer.
It's warmer than the South Pole? Is that
it
what you
is.
Said?
I'm going to go with ocean currents. I don't know, though.
I know why it's... No.
Or prevailing winds.
I know why it's warmer in the North Pole than the South Pole, because the person who takes the temperature is mistakenly using a rectal thermometer.
Oh, that's totally possible. And by the way, the idea that Paula's rectal thermometer goes all the way down to negative 40 is a little surprising to me. That's one cold ass.
Yeah, you know the expression freezing my ass off? Yeah,
yeah.
That's exactly. Yeah.
That would be that.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
You're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Holly and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the
be-
okay,
best
never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
You know, the thing about the North Pole that you said, buddy, where you said that there was people didn't live up there. You know what's weird about that is that Trump is still trying to blow Santa Claus to get a Trump hotel up there. That's the weird thing about that.
Also, we let Bonnie just kind of bypass the you know, just kind of go by the sentence. I had read that people lived at the North Pole.
Well, no, I thought I read that there was a real little town up there, but it turned out I was wrong. Okay.
So here's, you know, so what? I think you might have been reading
wrong,
Highlights
okay.
magazine. I think it was Highlights magazine, and I think they were talking about the elves, Bonnie. You got to really check your sources. That's so
Absolutely.
Important.
Okay.
So, wait, Bonnie, I do want to know the answer to your trivia question. Yeah, tell us.
Okay, here's why. Because, let's see. Because the North Pole is over water and the South Pole is over land.
Oh, the continent of Antarctica makes it colder.
Oh, I see. I thought it was
that?
Because... I thought it was because in the North Pole, they grow candy canes. Bonnie, talk about that. It's I can't believe you ever read that there were not people there. There are people there. There are little people there. They're elves.
No,
Christmas Town. Well, Bonnie, it's Christmas Town.
No, that's. I'm giving my report.
Yeah. All right.
You know what, Paula?
She's going to cry, Paula. Let her finish her report.
I'm dealing with real science. Okay. Here's some more information.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us some more.
I think you and Tony structured this report beautifully.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So,
I like the way you've left room for give and take with the listeners. I think that's good.
Okay, you can only travel to the North Pole by sea in June or July. The rest of the time you have to either get there by helicopter or plane in... Oh, wait a minute. Shit.
This is perfect for Tony, because Tony, you're going there on your cruise, is that right? You're going there on your cruise in December.
I'm getting to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I do want to insert that you might be using slightly older data, because one of the things that's happening is that more and more you can travel kind of over the polar ice caps all year round thanks to climate change.
Well, that's what I was just going to get to, which is...
Okay.
That it was that you could only travel there by sea in June or July. But the prediction now, because of climate change, there's so much ice melting. In fact, what they think is by 2050, the ice is going to be so thin that you'll actually be able to sail right over the North Pole, which is really horrible. And they've lost so much ice cover there that it equals... the size of Mexico. That's how much ice they've lost up there.
They've lost a full Mexico of ice up there, is what you're saying.
It's the equivalent to losing a chunk of sea ice bigger than Mexico.
When did Mexico become a standardized form of measurement?
Yeah, and while we're at it, how many more Mexicos of ice are there up there?
I think
you can say you don't know.
Okay, I don't know. I was looking at my figures. It doesn't bode well, okay? That's the bottom line. Yeah. All right.
That was really informative.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Now we have to go back to Tony.
This report is fantastic. Back to Tony. Tony?
Well, I'm going to talk about... North Pole, Alaska, because
that's a place.
Alaska has a town. Yep, has a town called North Pole. It's a Christmas themed town. It has 2,117 people and is actually Republican leaning in the North Pole.
Yeah, Santa wants a recount. That's how bad it's gotten.
Yeah, he wears red.
He does. Oh my gosh, mind blown.
Fake news. Fake news. Trump won easily. Deep state. They've been very naughty. The deep state.
He used to try, you know, Santa used to try to keep politics out of it, but he's just given up on that now. He's all in for the Republicans.
Well, if you think about it, even when you're bad, you get coal in your stocking.
Oh, good point. Yeah, good point. Yeah, so he's
you
really
don't get
dependent
clean energy.
On the,
you don't get a windmill.
No, he's dependent on the coal industry.
Big coal.
Yeah. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if and Santa was on the front lines of the war on Christmas. I wouldn't be surprised if. One of the, Breyer retires or something from the Supreme Court, if Trump didn't put Santa in on the Supreme Court.
He really could. He really might. And then good luck for those elves ever unionizing.
Yeah, and because no one would be willing to not, you know, vote him in when they went to, you know, approve of him or not. I mean, who's going to do that? Who's going to, who wants to go on the record saying, I don't want Santa on the Supreme Court? Yeah.
Senator Booker wrote no on Santa Claus. This year, vote no on Senator Booker.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Tony, I interrupted. I didn't mean
to. That's okay. No. No, please. The show is called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. You should interrupt. Christmas-themed streets in North Pole, Alaska include Santa Claus Lane, St. Nicholas Drive, Snowman Lane, and Kris Kringle Drive. Streetlights in the city are decorated in a candy cane motif, and many local businesses have similar decorations.
They must have an astronomical suicide rate.
Oh, what? Wow.
Because I know that I could last maybe a month there.
No, I like the sounds of this.
They have an all-female flat track roller derby league called the North Pole Babes in Toyland.
I like that. That sounds good. And maybe Milk Toast from Gremlins could join that team, and maybe it would perk her up around the holidays. Maybe she could forget about the smell of her dad's body decomposing in the chimney.
Yeah.
You can keep going, Goni.
This is why I hate group projects. The zip code in North Pole, Alaska is 99705. So they advertise it as the zip code of Santa. And if you send a letter addressed to 1 Santa Claus Lane in North Pole, 99705, you might just get a letter back from the man himself.
Wow.
Wow.
99705. What does that mean? Nothing. It doesn't have a significance, right?
It's a zip code.
All right, okay. I thought it was like... No, like the zip code in the town I grew up in was 01776. So I thought it had
that kind of
symbolism. Yeah.
Oh, you guys got lucky. You see, people on the East Coast, you know, when the zip codes were first giving out numbers, I think they had a little more leeway to choose. Once you get out to California where everything starts with a 9, there's a little less choice.
Yeah. Imagine coming from a town where it was 02020. That was a terrible zip code.
Tony, what else?
I'm good. That's it. That's the end of my portion about, I think, Bonnie, that's the end of our whole report. It's the end.
Well, I think I'm done too.
You ladies didn't really put a lot of thought into your conclusion of this report.
Well, that's not true. You know what? F you. I did.
Whoa!
It ended with Santa's address. It ended with Santa's address. I said, if you send it to this address, you might get a letter back from the man himself. That was the fucking ending, Adam.
Oh, now I've ruined Christmas again.
I've never heard Tony go off like that before. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I bet you Tony didn't get a lot of see me's from her teachers.
No. They were terrified.
Okay. I want to say, Bonnie and Tony, the Burns Hull report on the North Pole was fantastic. It far exceeded my expectations. It was informative. I feel like, I can't go to any cocktail parties now because of COVID. And of course, I also don't drink. But I feel like I could make, you know, cocktail party conversation with anybody about the North Pole right now. And if I'm ever on a game show where you win money for answering questions about the North Pole, I'm going to be able to pay my rent, honest to God.
And I want to add, I thought that was just fantastic. It definitely exceeded my expectations, too, which might have been originally somewhat lower than Paula's. But you guys did just a crack up job on that report. All right, everybody, you can subscribe to this podcast. Just go ahead and do it, because then you'll get things like this in your inbox every week. If you want to enter our theme song contest or send us an email, do that at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Once again, that's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Santa Felber. Special thanks to our house band, Kristen Lejeune. Our show is produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hall. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com to receive an expedited service.
You know, there's so many Christmas movies on this year. Like, they made all these new television Christmas movies. Lifetime Channel, Hallmark Channel, the Bleeding Fucking Heart Channel. And I caught one the other night. It was about where Mary and Joseph accidentally followed the wrong star on that night and ended up at Julia Roberts' house.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that was the wrong star that they followed.
I get it.
Yeah. It was called Joseph, Why Don't You Just Pull Over? That was the name of that movie. That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me? What?
Oh, Paul.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Paula, do you hear that, Paula? It sounds like sleigh bells.
It does. That's not sleigh bells, Adam. You know what that is?
My
smartphone is set so that when we get an email at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, it dings. And so many people have been responding to the Iceland report that it just sounds like bells all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
No. Every time your email dings, Tony Anita Hall gets her wings.
Actually, Adam, Tony Anita Hall is an angel. She is an angel. And so she's already had her wings, Adam Felber.
Well, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Culpepper.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Adam Felber, and to your, and to the Who's in your house, and the Cratchit children, because you're the Bob Cratchit of the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Would you like me to turn the heat up, Adam?
Yes, please. Please, if you don't mind, Mrs. Culpepper.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.